How to do, buggeroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. Now, the reason everybody tunes in today is Thursday. It is the 20th of August. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have a remix of the Dream Team. I think one of you prefers if I call it the Nightmare Team. And that one would be Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
We are totally the Nightmare Team. That's our band name.
It's their brand. It's a brand name now. Okay. Apparently, also, well, Andrew's into metal, so like Nightmare Team is a compliment to him. I think my other guest might disagree, and that is Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
No, it's the name of our band now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Charlotte likes metal too.
All right.
What's happening?
Okay. Then here we go. Nightmare Team. Let's get into it. Charlotte, you have an article. Let's talk a little bit about Apple as a company. And Apple has hit a new milestone.
Yes. The company yesterday became worth a paltry $2 trillion. I don't even know what that looks like. Apparently there are 12 zeros.
Well, and
is that right? Is that 12 zeros? Anyway, it's a staggering amount of money. It's the first US public company to ever clear that milestone, I believe. I think it was when, I believe the magic number was $867 a share.
Good heavens.
Which is, it's pretty staggering stuff. It's also made, that progress has made Tim Cook a billionaire, because a lot of what he earns from Apple is held up in shares.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone had a very good day yesterday at Apple.
Yes.
Well, by everyone, I mean the like top people.
Mm. Yeah. Because for people who don't know, Tim Cook, I think, Charlotte, you may have the facts on this. Either he doesn't get a salary, or it's like a dollar a year or something like that. That's like practically ceremonial. And the rest of what he gets compensated is tied to stock performance.
Yeah, I don't think he's quite one of those that gets a dollar a year. But for instance, when Angela Arendt was at Apple, she earned more in pure salary than Tim Cook, for example. She was the highest earner. It's often the case in companies such as Apple, and it is certainly the case with Tim Cook. He is not the highest salaried member of staff, but he obviously has very good stock options, which helps when your company becomes worth $2 trillion.
Yeah. And just think, you know, now we understand why Epic feels compelled to pick on them by being the little guy as a multi-billion dollar company. So,
well, sorry, I was talking rubbish. It was $460 a share.
Oh, 400. That's a, well,
not 867.
Well, but the other thing about that is that
amount of money.
Yes, it's a ridiculous amount of money, a ludicrous amount of money, I would say. And the other thing to know about that is that the stock is about to split. So,
that hasn't happened yet. By the way, I said a casual $469 a share. So we've done $2 trillion. We're over $2 trillion as we're recording this show.
Yeah. So I'll make a call to my stock people when we're done recording and pick up a bunch of that as soon as we're done here. I'm totally kidding. I don't own any Apple stock. I do think it's interesting that they've made $2 trillion. Just as anecdotal information, as I always tell people, I know the plural of anecdote is not data, but everyone I know who is in some sort of Apple hardware related industry has been basically at or above like their available capacity for sales and repairs and all that kind of stuff since everybody went home and stayed there. So I think the pandemic has done an awful lot, because everybody's been using, you know, the gear they have at home. And what's everybody got at home? They've got an iPad or two, some iPhones, you know, MacBook Pro, maybe an iMac. And I literally had to take a machine in for repair about a week ago and was told that if it needed any repair, that it was going to be 3 to 4 weeks turnaround, because that's how far it's backed up there.
Yeah, I think there's something in the fact people, I don't think that particularly would prompt stock rises unless people are buying more stuff. We know the iPhone SE did well, and the 11 and that series before that, I think people are getting more confident in Apple as a services company. And mm-hmm. so that's what obviously is pleasing Wall Street and pleasing investors, that it believes that the few, you know, just because they're not selling as many iPhones as before doesn't mean there's not huge potential in Apple. Turns out Apple is not doomed.
Yeah.
Who knew? And so there's a lot of these, a lot of evidence, you know, that there's a lot of that going on, I think, here. And mm-hmm. whether it's, you know, we've still got, you know, we've just had a new iMac. There's obviously going to be a run of new devices, which presumably will sell well. And in the stopgap, more and more people are signing into the services and using the services. And so I think people are having more confidence in that.
Yeah. And, you know, lots with phones, lots with, I think, mobile computing. You know, we've had iPad updates this year. I think there's going to be something more to go along with that. It's pretty easy to live an iPad first lifestyle, and I can say that because Andrew's here doing it generally for the most part.
And there's also, remember, we're gonna move, I mean, this is all probably somewhat delayed now, but there will obviously be, we're expecting a 5G iPhone 12 in the next, what, month, 6 weeks, that kind of time frame?
It'll be October. That was the part that we know. We confirmed that and discussed those releases on the show yesterday.
Yeah, well, that's when we think it will arrive. It doesn't mean... we might hear about it before, but yeah, you're right that it'll probably only be around to buy in kind of October time, which is all rather nice for the Christmas quarter. And so, on and on it goes, really. The Apple train keeps on rolling. But I think it is worth noting quite what a historic landmark to make a company worth $2 trillion is. And for people who, you know, we joke about the Apple is doomed people, but it's truly a staggering achievement to make a company worth, you know, and a premium company. This is not... to be worth that much, I think truly is a staggering achievement.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's very impressive that not only are they a $2 trillion company now, but they still don't really dominate any markets they're in.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Andrew. Andrew, you're so naughty.
Well, that's true. I mean, relatively.
Technically true.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, if you just look at the numbers. Mobile phone market globally or in any country, it's not iPhone.
Nope.
Is not the biggest. If you look at the various computers, Mac is certainly not the biggest.
Yeah. I'd give them the tablet market. I'd give them that.
Yeah, but I think collectively everyone else still outsells. I mean, Apple does dominate in terms of tablets, and most, like in terms of headphones, I've written a bunch of stories where there's the data in that shows just how popular AirPods are.
Oh, sure. Mm. Yeah.
And also the watch. The Apple Watch is doing extremely well too.
That's true.
Yeah, but again,
I always forget about the watch market, I guess.
Yeah, I think the point about its competitors, though, is... Yeah, the watch is an interesting example because... Most people who buy a smartwatch, again, this is kind of what you just see and pick up, and there is data to back this up. People who are buying smartwatches tend to buying Apple Watches. I think it's probably fair to say.
Yeah.
That, I mean, Fitbit still does well and is the major competitor. So look, there's competitors there, but you were being a bit facetious, Andrew, with that point about it doesn't dominate a market, but and that is true, but it's interesting how, despite that kind of position with so many competitors, no one in so many markets, no one is quite doing it as well. Is that a fair? I think that's probably how I put it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Yeah. So, interesting stuff. It is a landmark, and I'm very interested in that. But right now, what I'd like to do, let's take a minute and tell you about our sponsor this week. Our sponsor is Devon Think, and they make an app called our sponsor is Devon Technologies. They make an app called Devon Think, and Devon Think is the easiest way that you can manage the information flood that is your life in 2020. You can use it to manage all of your documents and information on your computer. You can file, you can annotate, you can organize things in groups, you can put them in, you can put tags on them. You can do both if that's what you prefer. You can have smart rules and flexible reminders for all of the stuff that you have in there. And you can build automation that will allow you to have your computer handle all the boring and repetitive parts of your workflow for you, which is why we all got computers in the first place, is so that all the boring, repetitive stuff can be handled by somebody else. Just for my listeners, you get a 10% discount off a DevonThink 3 license or off of an upgrade. So dust off that version 2 license and take it over to devontechnologies.com/TDO, devontechnologies.com/TDO, and you can get 10% off a full version or an upgrade. And we'd like to thank DevonThink for sponsoring the show today. Now, the other thing that we have that we want to talk about today is we've heard a little bit about Tim Cook, and we got an interesting anecdote about a one-word email.
Yeah. I noticed this over on Ing.com and shared it over our site, the Mac Observer. And it's all, again, coincides with the idea of the company being worth $2 trillion, Tim Cook personally being worth $1 billion, and so on. So Andrew can go into it more in terms of this whole row with Epic Games and the general way the developer community, or some parts of the developer community, are starting to see Apple. And in one of the in the recent antitrust case, we saw, I think one of those emails came up and was made public. And apparently Tim Cook's email to this quite in-depth response from a developer was to email Eddie Q, Phil Schiller and Craig Federighi with just one word, and it was thoughts. And okay, that doesn't really sound that, you know, it doesn't sound that groundbreaking. He's a CEO, he's asking the clever people around him what they think about a complex situation. But I thought it was kind of interesting the way he operates, and he doesn't go, this is what we're doing, let's cross this, you know. It's a very different approach. It's a different approach to, do we think Steve Jobs would have sent that email? I'm going to go with no. Do we think lots of other top tech, do we think Mark Zuckerberg would have sent that email? Again, I think probably not. And so on and so forth. But equally, he didn't just dismiss it as not being his problem.
Right.
So that there's a variety of insight there you get into how Tim Cook operates, which I found personally very interesting.
Yeah, it was a little bit more of a look into Apple than we normally get, let alone into how anything operates on Mahogany Row, right? So it's definitely, it was definitely a very interesting thing, sort of like finding out that, you know, apparently Tim Cook is making people cry in meetings.
No, wait, let's be careful. Let's clarify.
Allegedly.
Tim Cook, people left meetings with Tim Cook in tears. It's a different thing.
Yes, that's true.
Let's be fair.
Okay. Yes. It just comes back to, like, there's a whole lot of stuff that happens at Apple that we don't know about, that we will never know about. And this was, and this story about this email is an opportunity to get a look in that we don't normally get.
Yeah, there's definitely that. And also, we don't know that much about Tim Cook as an individual.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is also something we've discussed here. Yeah. So that's another thing, is that, you know, we've talked about how we don't hear a lot about him or what he does, or, you know, Tim Cook at home or anything like that. And
yeah, he's for all sorts of reasons, he's a deeply private man, and clearly, and just getting a little insight, even if it's a one-word email, is really interesting into how he operates and runs the company and has turned it into a $2 trillion behemoth.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very...
Yeah.
Yeah, Andrew. I definitely want to hear you weigh in on this.
Speaking of Tim Cook, I was talking to Kelly before the show about this anecdote I have of him, and it's my favorite story of him. Uh-huh. Although to be fair, like we were saying, there aren't a lot of stories about him.
That's true.
But anyway, this is from CNN, and it sounds like this is back when Tim, like in the early days of him being a CEO, mm-hmm. and there was some kind of meeting going on about China, and it sounds like there was some urgent thing to do with the supply chain. And so okay. Tim Cook says they had a meeting and he said, this is really bad. Someone should be in China driving this. And 30 minutes into the meeting, he looks at someone and says, why are you still here? And the man immediately stands up and books a flight to China.
To China,
and
yeah.
That's it.
I've
heard that story. So again, it's a great story. It kind of, you can imagine Tim Cook in his operations executive days being on the flight before someone had even asked him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seeing the problem and just sort of going, okay, it's been fun. I have to peace out of this meeting and hit the road. that definitely doesn't sound out of character. I will say, if you had told me that was an Apple executive, that also seems like a very Steve Jobsy sort of move. To just look at somebody and go, why are you still here? That's a thing that Steve would have done. Or if you had told me that that was Steve Jobs, I would believe it, given the other stories we have heard about him.
I think we have the reason why this story, even just for a one-word email, struck me in the same way that profile in the Wall Street Journal we discussed a couple of weeks ago struck me, is because we have because we don't know much about Tim Cook.
Yeah.
We have a very blinkered view of seeing him. And all these little stories tell us a little bit more about him, that he's both nicer and maybe not as nice as we think. Look, nice guys don't become nice guys do become billionaires, but you know what I'm saying. Well, you have to be pretty tough to get to the position Tim Cook has.
Yeah.
And so all these little stories give us some insight into that and how he operates and how he keeps the show on the road. Because it would have been easy to not be a very good successor to Steve Jobs.
Oh, yeah. And I think hearing that story sort of gives me the facet of Tim Cook's personality that sort of made him work well with Steve Jobs, because Steve Jobs could see this was somebody that was gonna, you know, that if there had to be a decision to be made. I mean, obviously, at least my takeaway from this is, yes, Tim Cook is a man of action. It may not be his action, but there better be some. And, you know, whoever it is needs to be taking it forthwith. And so, you know, hearing a story like that makes me go, yeah, I see the side of him now a little bit, you know, in that story that Steve Jobs would have seen and gone, yeah, this is absolutely who should come after me. So, because he was handpicked. So
I think you were right before, Charlotte. I don't think anyone becomes a billionaire by being nice. I think you got to be ruthless and cutthroat.
I don't know. That's pretty.
Maybe. I think you have to be, let's call it effective. And Tim Cook.
I'll go with decisive.
That.
Yeah.
Well,
why are you
again,
still here?
That email is not about being decisive, is it? It's about asking. But, you know, he's not going on his own instinct. He's asking people he trusts. He has people around him that he trusts.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I think part of that decisiveness is like something needs to happen here. But I want to make sure that it's an informed decision. So I want to hear from other people about how this is, you know, what y'all think about it. And I think that's important too. But yeah, you know, figuring out what the course of action is going to be and then absolutely taking it, you know, why are you still here? Like in some cases it's that easy. In some cases it's a little more complex, but either way, it's very interesting. So as we find out more, if we get another little story about Tim Cook and his leadership style, we will absolutely talk about it with you here. In the meantime, that's going to do it for us today. So I want to thank both of you for being here. Thank you, Nightmare Team member Andrew Orr.
Yes, thank you for sharing words with me.
And also thank you, Charlotte Henry, for coming by today.
Thank you for allowing us to be your nightmare.
All right.
Oh, wait. Now I have to, after the show, I'll send you guys a perfect song.
Oh, no. Okay.
I'm thinking of the same song. Let's go.
Probably. And I'm probably thinking one that's totally different. So we'll all find out at the end of the show together. That's going to do it for us. I'm your host, Kelly Gamon. I will talk to you tomorrow. Until then, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.